Hi, Tad Chalmers here. You may know me from such podcasts as Roundabout, where I play that nebbish, lovable scamp, Craig Cole. But you know, podcasts aren't all fun and games. Some of our hosts haven't tasted clean water since episode one. Hope isn't lost, though. You can help. Go to roundaboutshow.com and take our quick survey to tell advertisers you care. It's too late for Zach Bowman, but with your help, he might just be the last.
Live from my afternoon practice at the Long Beach Grand Prix, I'm Michelle Naranjo.
From the bed of the same old Scout Terra, I'm Zach Bowman.
Deep in the bowls of a Holley 750 double pumper, I'm Dave Braddock.
From the control center of the Roundabout Nation, I'm producer Ben Sanders.
I'm Eric Tritko.
And I'm your master of ceremonies, Craig Cole.
This is Roundabout.
Welcome to Roundabout, episode number 31, our weekly chat covering car culture, vehicle reviews, and some of the auto news you may have missed.
Every week, like a driver in training, we slide behind the wheel of our parents' Camry in search of real-world experience and exciting stories to talk about. With a white-knuckle death grip on the steering wheel and a terrible sense of direction, we back down the driveway and head for the mall to pick up some new clothes at Hot Topic. And if we're lucky, a cohesive Zen-like theme. On the way, we'll blow through a stop sign, nearly taking out an OPC bus. We'll take forever to make a left turn across oncoming traffic, and we'll ride the brakes like a roller coaster at Cedar Point. Whatever's left of our dignity when we reach our destination, well, we'll give it to Mom, since she rode shotgun the whole way. Welcome, everyone. Roundabout episode number 31. We've made it. We've survived yet another week.
Did you pick up a Friendaroo shirt while you were at the Hot Topic?
No, they don't sell them, unfortunately. But if somebody is, if you're interested in getting a Friendaroo shirt, just visit roundaboutshow.com. Click on the Roab Emporium link in the sidebar. It'll take you to Cafe Press. You can buy just the nicest Friendaroo shirt you have ever seen. It's a high-quality cotton. What's the thread count, Ben? Do you know?
Oh, at least 56.
Okay, so it's slightly better than a shop rag. But it's a quality garment, let me tell you.
That's what you use it for.
It's a shop rag burlap blend.
Yes, you thought burlap was just for underwear. No, they're making t-shirts.
It's back.
It's organic burlap?
Maybe, I don't know. Something. We got our tip of the week out of the way early.
Very good.
There you go. Perfect. So here we are, everyone. Roundabout episode 31. We've got the usual suspects here. Zach, how's everything down in Knoxville?
Everything's peachy.
Yeah, anything new to report going on?
Not a thing.
Just the autoblog gig, huh?
Yep.
How are they treating you over there at AOL?
Good.
Good?
Good.
Nothing. They beat him with whips and lashes every day.
Just like your fantasies, Michelle. Right?
Exactly. Stephen Ewing like gave me some insight, you know, before Zach got there.
So. Oh, okay.
Well, way to warn me on that.
How's the ball gag, Zach?
Oh, that's great. It's fantastic. Yeah. No, everything's going pretty good. I'm getting into the rhythm. Nobody's screamed at me yet, so because I'm f***ing up so bad they're considering firing me already, or I'm
mark that, Ben. So
mark your face.
You've been
my fist.
Wow. So you've been quite prolific on the site, Zach. You're just churning out content left and right. I see Zach Bowman bylines just dominating.
That's
you've made that site your bitch.
Not quite, but you know.
I would disagree, but
all right, well, thanks.
Agree to disagree. So Michelle, how are things out in Long Beach?
It's
news?
Awesome. I'm sitting here in my living room, and I can hear them already racing downtown, actually. I mean, they're like five blocks away, so.
That's like walking distance.
It is walking distance.
Nobody walks in LA.
I'm not.
You could drag yourself on your stomach to the races if you had to. It's so close.
I was going for the pop culture song reference that Craig Cole was going to miss, so.
Yeah, I don't, you know, it's funny because I usually go, and I'm just not so into it this year. They're just making it so much about drifting that it's kind of lost the original
drifting is so 2007. I know. It's just...
It's so kids. It's, right? It's...
Red Line Time Attack, that's where it's at. That I can get behind.
That actually does look pretty cool.
Thank you. Thank you.
I mean, the chat room is saying, like, yeah, drifting's awesome. Drifting is awesome, but it's not a race. It's an exhibition, right? It's a judged exhibition. It's completely
judged. That's my biggest problem with it. It's judged.
Don't judge me.
It's not figure skating, okay? You're in a car going against somebody else in a car. You
right.
should be
Although
raced.
It's very similar to figure skating that they circle around, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, Eric
but
Tritko.
But they don't do double kowtows.
I'm just going to agree
your name's
with that.
Nick Hogan.
Michelle used to have Brian Boitano posters in her room when she in her younger days, didn't you, Michelle?
No.
Eric nice. Tritko. Eric Tritko, Dearborn, Michigan. What's up? Anything? Anything exciting in your life?
No, not at the moment.
Enjoying the new gig at blogs.webrightstv.com?
Yeah, actually, I'm having fun, and when the first paycheck shows up, I'll be having even more fun.
Wow, it's always nice. It's always
hint,
nice to get paid.
Hint.
I just submitted my first invoice last Friday. I don't expect it to be there in 2 days. So,
all right. So, real good, Eric. And last but not least today, we've got
certainly
a new...
Certainly not least.
We've got some fresh meat on the show. Dave Braddock is joining us. Dave, how are you?
I'm good. I don't know if I would call me fresh meat, but...
You've been sitting out on the counter for a while, huh?
I'm prime-aged.
Aged steak, right?
Well, he's the FNG for the show anyways.
Yeah.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Yeah, well, we're glad you could make it. You're a first timer on the show. We hope we don't scare you away or offend you too badly.
Oh, no.
Why don't you just tell us a little about yourself, what you do, how you're into cars?
Yeah, I'm into the muscle cars from the 60s and the 70s, early 70s. And I run I've got an online blog on WordPress. It goes AmericanMuscleCar.wordpress.com, and I get into a little bit about some of my past exploits and what I consider my goal of opening a muscle car business eventually down the road somehow, and it's all geared towards that end.
Mm-hmm.
I also run a magazine on OpenZine.com. Once again, called American Muscle Car, and get into a little bit about the different models and stuff that make up the genre.
Mm-hmm.
And
what's your favorite muscle car, if you had to pick one?
Well, my favorite as far as my ultimate goal car would be a 71 Plymouth GTX, which was the Roadrunner, top of the line.
So you're a Mopar man.
No, I'm actually a Ford or a Chevy guy. If you ever, see me on Twitter, Duane 1957. I have a penchant for the Chevelles, the SS396 and the SS454s, but pretty much all of them, I respect them because I was born in 1957. That's why it's in my
Holy
name.
Holy crap!
And then. I grew up through the era of muscle cars, so, either me or my friends or family have had most of them, and, they all have their little claims to fame, so to speak.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
So.
Well, we're glad you could make it today.
What was so amazing about that was the thing that shocked Craig the most was that you were born in 1957 and you're still alive.
He didn't think people were around then.
Well, he's older than you, Michelle. I didn't think that was possible.
That's what I say. I'm aged meat. I'm not meat.
Well, okay. Well, being born in 1957, it's fair to assume that you have paid your dues, right? Over the years,
I'd like to think so.
Yeah, well, that's very convenient for us today because that is our theme for this week's show, paying your dues. So, the first story we've got coming up here comes from Channel 14 News, WFIE.com. I guess they're out of the Chicago area.
The Tri-State's News and Weather Leader.
Well, that's good to know.
14 WFIE.
Thank you for that roll in, Ben.
It doesn't have Wolf on it, so Craig doesn't know.
Craig's never heard of it, therefore.
Wood.tv. What is that, a Grand Rapids?
Yeah, WOOD TV.
WOOD. I'm still waiting for WLAN, Ben. That's the best.
WLAN.
Wireless.
Okay.
Anyway.
What's this?
That's in Lansing.
I don't know. We were joking. Anyway. On topic. This first story, a couple of teens got into some trouble a few weeks ago in the Illinois area. And I guess what happened was they were having a paintball fight. Okay, fairly innocent.
As we all have.
Yeah, as we all have, I guess. Having a paintball fight, but the problem is they weren't doing it on like a paintball field or in the woods or something. They were doing it between two moving cars. You can understand how that would kind of be a problem.
No, I can't.
In her action, there's nothing wrong with it.
Well, it kind of is a problem when your windshield is covered in paint and then you run through a stop sign and hit another car.
Oh, I had not read this story. That's pretty good.
I can completely sympathize with these kids because I know how that goes when you're like, this is so much fun. This is so much fun. Mm-hmm. Oh, shit, we're in so much trouble.
Mark it, Ben. that young, stupid kids. So I guess the 16-year-old driver failed to see a stop sign because his windshield was covered in paint. He drove by the sign and hit a third vehicle. Thankfully, no one was injured in the incident, and they got, they were charged with reckless conduct, as you'd expect them to be.
You know, to me, it seems like if you were the kids, I mean, you had, like, what, three or four guys there all armed with paintball guns? You could have just gotten out and be like, don't you tell a soul! I can pull the guy up, and if he didn't cooperate, you could just paint him.
So if this is what the kids are doing, you know, nowadays, those youngsters, Dave, what were you guys doing for fun back in the day? Anything like this?
Oh, well, in Elkhart, Indiana.
Oh, wait a minute. You're from Elkhart? You're from RV capital, Indiana?
Well, I'm actually from the northeast corner, but my dad lived in Elkhart. And so in summers, we would go out there, or I would go out there and spend the summer with him and then, you know, ship me back to my mom. In time for school. But we used to have BB gun wars.
Oh, God.
Where you'd run around the neighborhood shooting each other with BB guns. And I, you know, statute of limitations is up, so I guess I can confess that I must have took out about 40 car windows.
Oh, God.
Running around the neighborhood. Because, you know, when there's nobody to shoot, you just shoot at everything. And if you shoot house windows, people come out and, you know, they get all upset with you. So you shoot their cars,
well,
and then you just run.
In Elkhart, there's not much else to do other than go, you know, annoy the Amish. So,
yeah, Amish. Yeah, you know.
I grew up in South Bend. That's how I know these things.
Okay. South Bend is oddly in the north end of the state.
So is Elkhart.
You guys are neighbors.
Sort of.
You were born in, what, 58, Eric? What year were you born?
69.
Oh. Well, Eric's, you look a little older.
Younger than me.
Ow.
What was that, Michelle?
Eric's younger than me.
Holy crap. Wow. He's steaming right now because I'm being a total dick. I'm sorry, Eric.
1969 and he's the second oldest? Oh, my God. I'm a dinosaur.
He's the second oldest and the second hottest.
So kids are... Dave, kids made mistakes back when you were a youngster and it looks like they're still making them today.
You know, I need to have a... A paintball, yeah. A roundabout paintball tournament.
Score. Zach, that
all
is a brilliant
us,
idea.
All of us get together when we're on launch sometime. We should all play paintball.
Okay, wait. Can we just, like, put a big body paint of a target on me? Because you're all going to try to kill me.
No, not necessarily.
Well, just, we go after the weaker ones in the herd, you know? They're on the fringes, and they're easier to pick off, right?
Say opera windows one more time, Greg.
That's an inside joke, Dave. Zach had, what, a 73?
71.
God damn it. 71 Lincoln Continental Coupe.
The 73 would have had opera windows, but I had a 71 Continental Mark III Lincoln. And our dear leader Craig always asks me how much I miss the opera windows in that truck or car. As you know, it didn't have upper windows. So
I couldn't have said it better myself,
Zach. Isn't that the type of car that Cannon drove around when he was doing his private investigation stuff?
Cannon had a Mark III.
Was it a Mark III, really?
Yeah, I think it was a Mark III.
Who knew? I already blocked it out of my mind, so there you go.
Remember he had the, looked like an AT&T home phone mounted to the console?
Yeah.
With the cord thing on it, a little curly cord.
A Mark III or Mark IV, one of those two.
That was so believable, you know, that 400-pound guy catching up those kids as they're trying to run away from him on foot.
That was 400 pounds of muscle, I'm sure.
That's right.
Yeah.
Rolling, rippling muscle.
Felt.
Yes.
Built for speed.
So, Dave, you've got our next story on the list here. It involves an older gentleman, it looks like, also in the Chicago area. What can you tell us about this? Something, a crash tax? What's going on?
Yeah, Chicago Heights, you know, which is a town down to the south of where I'm at. I'm in Lake Villa, you know, up in middle of Lake County. But Chicago Heights, I think, is down in Cook County. But I guess when you have an accident there, they send out, you know, the fire trucks and the paramedics. You know, a lot of towns require, you know, fire trucks to respond to crashes, which to me is kind of stupid. But
wasteful.
Because they've got a budget problem. They now charge people
for the mandatory fire truck.
Yep. They charge you. This gentleman, Corey Feldman, he was charged $200.
Corey Feldman?
For the fire trucks to respond to his accident, even though there was nobody hurt at the accident and nobody had to be hauled away or anything like that.
And he didn't even call them, did he? I mean, no. It was just a fender bender.
Yep. And it's a automatic thing that the city does. And then because they've got budget problems, they send you a bill for it. Now, the other guy that he ran into, or the guy that hit him, I'm not sure which way it went here, but the other guy only got charged $100 because he was a resident of the town. And they don't want to double bill a resident, you know.
That's actually how our emergency system works out here. I mean, first move down here.
You guys have one?
Oh, my God. When we first moved down here, we got a bill in the mail for, it was like $280, and it was from Rural Metro. So I called my dad and asked what it's about, because he used to live down here. And he's like, oh, yeah, well, they're a volunteer service, but you have to pay into their service, right? It's like insurance. So if you don't pay them at the beginning of the year and your house is on fire, they'll come and they'll put out the fire, but they charge you like $300 every half hour. So if they're on your property for 3 hours, that's a serious tab. So you just kind of have to pay them. It's, you know, it's like store protection money, you know?
What is the – I mean, this is almost – these people are there to help. It's like volunteer, you know? And
yeah, I mean, it's funny. One of my good buddies from high school works on an all-volunteer service. They don't get paid. You know, he's got to put in 40 hours a week there over
– Jeez.
You know, it's pretty rough. So,
Michelle, how do they do things out in California with all the budget problems you guys are having? How does that work?
I mean, they charge people for that kind of stuff, and it's not a volunteer service. But they also charge people that if you actually have enough money, that you have an alarm system in your house, and for some reason your alarm system goes off, they'll charge you for false alarms.
Ooh.
So I think it's kind of the same basis.
That's kind of common around Chicago. I know in my past history, I worked for the Deer Path Inn in Lake Forest, Illinois. And it's a ritzy community. But we had we would have a problem where the little spiders would get inside the smoke detectors, and they would set it off, and it automatically, you know, responds to the fire department. So they'd send a truck down. You're allowed 3 false calls a year, and then they start slapping you with like $1,200 every time they come out.
So. Well, at least they give you 3 freebies. That's a reasonable.
But mind you, in Long Beach, where we've shut down 2 of our fire stations, one of which is down in the downtown area where I am. The one that's 3 doors up from me is not shut down, of course, because they have to keep going all night and cover the downtown area. These fire department guys downtown Long Beach is kind of like a hotbed of clubs and stuff. They cruise up and down the street in not only their ambulances, but also their ladder trucks. Hmm. On Friday and Saturday nights, on club nights, the policemen are all standing out in front of the clubs, flirting with the girls.
And it's called overtime, Michelle.
But, during their spare time, I mean, these guys work, what, like 4 days on and then 3 days off or something like that. They actually cruise the nightlife and, like hang out and burn fuel. I mean, those ladder trucks, what is that? Like, it's not even a 650. It's above an F-650, right?
Well, they've got hybrids, don't they?
No.
See, that's what I don't understand is a lot of the towns around Chicago, which is the area where I live, they have a requirement that if they send out a paramedic truck, they also send a hook and ladder. Now, what the hell good is a hook and ladder truck going to do at a crash site for a car accident?
Absolutely.
I mean, seriously.
If they have to climb to the second story of the car, I mean.
But, I mean, I understand the paramedics and, you know, you're going to have the police there. But, you know, to send, basically a pumper truck, if it's a fire, you know, a car's on fire, hopefully the cops get there soon enough that basically you just dump the little extinguisher that the cop's carrying in his trunk or the paramedics would have in their thing and put out the fire, get the people out of the car.
Yeah.
But no, they got to send out the big truck, and you got the guys with the oxygen tanks on and the masks and the big boots chomping around on the side of the road for a fender bender.
Well, they'd like to play dress up, I guess. But
they do, but there's it's weird. Like they're not thinking in a new way. Like they're old government people, because I walk every day to get my little Diet Coke at the corner, and the supervisor comes by at least twice a week to the fire station, and he's in an Explorer, and he leaves. He parks his truck and his Explorer in the front parking, bit of the fire department, and he leaves it idling for at least 45 minutes to an hour. And we all know that that's one of the biggest things was they were like, oh, you know, cops shouldn't idle, like this is bad green, you know, stuff to do. But they're not changing their behavior.
No, and they won't.
But they'll charge citizens. I mean, it's just kind of weird.
It's easier that way. It's just easier.
They need to go buy all the different restaurants, get all the waste grease, and then use that for fuel.
Yeah. Well, sometimes you have to pay your dues even if it's not fair, and it sucks if you have to pay for a fire truck to come out to a fender bender, but I guess the government is desperate. But speaking of fender benders, Zach, you've got our next story. And I guess sometimes you have to pay your dues. Well, you always have to pay your dues before you can drive, and sometimes that can be messy. What can you tell us about our next story?
Yeah, a young woman in, near Oxford was getting her...
England.
Yes, Oxford, England, was getting her learner's permit, and she was driving in a driver's ed car, and she's... I'm sorry, the picture is just the best. She said that the steering wheel became locked, and she panicked, so she depressed the accelerator. And when that happened, she hit a fence post, and she flipped the little Fiat 500 she was driving right over on its roof.
On her second trip out.
Second trip.
Well, she gets points for that.
What this should demonstrate, people, is that when the Fiat 500 actually does make its way to the U.S., sometime, whenever that is, it's a safe car.
Rollover?
It's on its roof, and they seem to be standing out there looking at it without any injury.
She looks like a dude. Maybe that's why she flipped it. Wait, what?
I like the way the car is styled, like the current Volkswagen Beetle, you know, where it's round, so it should be pretty easy to roll back onto it.
Yeah, it's like a turtle.
I was looking at this thing going, well, I wouldn't mind having that thing, you know, just bump around town, run into stuff, why not?
I like the L stickers on the back for learner. That means stay the hell away. Clearly.
My question as far as future is, you know, now that Fiat owns Chrysler, is this going to be the next Dodge Neon?
It's too cool to be a Neon.
So Zach,
my favorite is the last picture. You can see all like the learning materials and highlighters and stuff upside down, like on the broken windshield.
There's a pink highlighter.
Oh, it's the best. Cracks me up. You were going to ask Craig. I'm sure it was something insulting. Please, fire away.
You know me too well, Zach. Have you ever overturned a vehicle?
No.
Aside from that golf cart you were on.
Does a farm tractor count? Because I've flipped a tractor.
Story time, Ben.
I'll put it in post.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Skype.
I endowed a stock car at Avila Speedway in Avila, Indiana.
Wow.
I joined the rollover club. I put it 2.5 times end over end off the end embankment of the track.
Holy crap.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's worth points.
It was an impressive thing. I couldn't remember much of it. All I know is it was like spinning. Ah, finally, stop. It was on its roof.
So were you injured at all? Or
No, I was strapped in. It was a stock car race.
All right.
I was 17 at the time, yep.
Young whippersnapper.
Little 3/8-mile asphalt oval in Avila, Indiana. Yeah, that's where we used to go and race when I was a kid. They had Avila had a setup where they had a motocross track in the back. So the motocross track ran on Saturday afternoons. Friday nights, they ran the stock cars. And then Sunday, they had a one time it was a quarter mile, then they shortened it to an 8-mile drag strip. I used to bracket race down there. And I've always been into cars, I guess.
Very
but
cool.
Yeah, the guy that owned the car wasn't real happy with me. I totaled his Camaro.
Jeez.
Wasn't no straight metal left on that thing.
Zach, what's your tractor story? Massey Ferguson harvesting sorghum or something? And
I was actually on a Massey Ferguson now that you mention it. I worked for a contractor for a little while, and before he would let me do any carpentry, I was doing just basic gopher work.
Hmm.
And he had a farm where he was building a cabin. And for the cabin, he wanted some stone for the foundation, like, you know, stuff probably the size of a bowling ball or so. And it had already been loaded up on a car trailer that was up on the top of this hill. So he tells me and this other guy, take the tractor, go down, get the trailer, take the trailer back down, bring it up to where the cabin is. No problem. Hop on the tractor, go down the hill, come up the hill, and it's a pretty steep grade. I would say we're probably at 45% better or grade. You know, it's not a road, it's just a farm, mm-hmm. middle of the field, right? So it's the middle of June, it's very dry. Hook the tractor up to the trailer. The other guy hops on behind me, and we start going down the hill. So I've got it in four-wheel drive, first gear, and we start going down the hill, and the trailer starts pushing the tractor.
Oh,
and at this point in my driving career, I didn't realize that when that happened, you should probably just push the clutch down. So I go to stand on the brakes. And when I stand on the brakes, the tractor speeds up because it's no longer getting any traction. And
oh,
the tractor starts to get a little sideways, and I'm fighting the tractor. And then it was like instantaneous, flipping a switch. I was thrown from the tractor, upside down, downhill from the tractor.
How are you alive at 25 years old, Zach? You sound very accident-prone.
This was a pretty good question. I wasn't wearing my seatbelt. Okay, the tractor had a rollover protection device on it.
Which is useless if you're not wearing a seatbelt.
Yes. But what happened was when the tractor went over, okay, I was thrown downhill from the tractor. But the trailer ran up on top of the tractor and then buried the rollover protection device because it pushed it down the hill. But the tongue of the trailer rolled up on top of the rear wheel of the tractor and kept it from rolling over me. So that was my one rollover experience.
And that's terrifying.
Yep.
I almost wish I didn't ask.
So there you go.
That's horrifying.
To this day, I still have a slight, like, you know, like it's
lisp.
It's a lisp. Yes. Only when I have a drink enough. No, I still have a slight. It's not like a fear or anything, but I still get that feeling of oh, shit, this thing's going to go over when I'm on a tractor.
No,
it's
not
pretty
a fear.
Pretty bizarre.
Yeah. Well, on a happier note, Michelle, your story involves a bunny.
It's a hopping bunny, which is kind of funny because This story comes to us from Glendale, California. And a few weeks ago, we featured a story from Glendale, California about a chicken running wild in the street. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now I kind of have to wonder if the chicken running wild in the street was not a police ploy.
Someone's cock got out.
Oh, and, Craig. And, no. Please, no.
Sorry.
In downtown Glendale, a police officer dressed up in a bunny outfit because I don't, you know, it's fun. I don't know if you guys realize, but our pedestrian laws are kind of unlike the rest of the country. I was driving with somebody recently on an event in California, and I kind of had to point out that pedestrians have the right of way. Like, if someone's waiting at the corner, you're supposed to stop.
Yeah, it's not like that in the rest of the world.
You see, the car is bigger than a person, and it can run them over.
We follow the yield to the bigger.
Yeah, here it's kind of like the sailboat law thing, where like you're supposed to give way to the sailboat because that guy doesn't really have control if you're in a motorboat.
You're all a bunch of hippies.
I guess, but
they don't like Darwin. It's funny, all those people who non-creationists hate Darwin because they won't let his work take effect.
Mm.
Here it's kind of funny because it's the law, but everybody ignores it because, you know, the car is bigger than the pedestrian. And they've actually made some of our crosswalks in L.A. County now. They light up and flash. Like, it's
no wonder you're having budget deficits.
All the flashy
technology, flashing
throwing
people,
your money away. You don't need that fancy stuff.
Yeah,
distracting drivers, people getting in the road, then going where they don't belong.
I mean, it's an interesting idea of, you know, we're still in under 100 years of people actually not having sidewalks in this country. We used to walk in the streets with horse and carts, and then the cars came along and we sort of made way for them. And there's still a huge pedestrian movement in the U.S., right? We're supposed to, like, give way to them, but cars are obviously the bigger winner.
So what's the bunny have to do with all this, Michelle?
So the bunny was this police officer, like, hopping around in traffic in a very retail-oriented area of Glendale, making pedestrians stop or making drivers stop and giving them sort of education about how pedestrians have the right of way.
Doesn't this sound a little bit like Super Troopers to you guys?
It's
nothing
weird,
but funnier.
The only thing that's really irritating to me about this story is that there's three cops. There's three cops on motorcycles in the back, and if this was anyone other than a cop, all their lights would be flashing and giving the bunny rabbit thing a ticket for jaywalking because he's not in the area you're supposed to be crossing the street in.
Well, and here's what's funny. I mean, my nephews and my brother-in-law all live in Glendale, and both of my nephews, who are in their early 20s, have been given both jaywalking tickets in this exact area and have been given tickets because they were, you know, hanging out with the chicks at the coffee shop kind of thing and dropped a cigarette on the street and were given tickets for littering and had to do public service. I mean, Glendale's I swear they let that chicken out on purpose.
It sounds like the people
makes Santa Monica seem sane.
Yeah. I've decided that when my wife and I finally have children, I'm going to have a hard time not instilling a hatred for police in my offspring, because it's really hard. You know, I know police are there largely to protect people, and the majority of them do a fine job and are very courteous and can sleep at night. But there are that select few. God, you just want to, you know,
break out some iced tea music for them.
Yes, thank you. So yeah.
Anyone else ever heard any crazy schemes like this to learn people?
If you go to it's a website. It's called www.theregister.co.uk. Okay, a website called The Register, and it's different articles about different things that they've come up with and all that. But in the little search on the search site window, you type in Bikini Bandits, and Copenhagen had a problem. The speed limit used to be 80 kilometers an hour, and too many people were speeding through town and everything, so they dropped the speed limit to 50. And, as expected, nobody listened to the 50 because they didn't listen to the 80. So what they did is they put a bunch of topless blondes, because it's Sweden, so or Denmark.
You can get away with that.
Blondes out there holding a 50-kilometer sign. And while this thing was going on, they called them the Bikini Bandits because they were, they'd wave and point at the 50 kilometers per hour sign, and they're topless. They're jumping up and down on the side of the road. And, of course, the next problem they have is traffic's moving too slow through town.
Congestion.
So, that's all we need. In California, instead of putting a rabbit on the corner, they should have put, went down to the Venice Boardwalk, got some of those bikini girls, and brought them over. That's all.
And you say bikini, but I just went to the Register, and
they're topless.
Yeah.
They're really topless.
That's genuine topless.
Bikini bandits, baby.
I'm having to cover it up with our beep beep QuickTime window.
with Zach sound.
But, you find all kinds of good stuff on the internet.
And in Scandinavia, apparently.
Back in the old days. Well, all your Scandinavian countries, whether it be Denmark or Sweden, they have a different view of, nudity and pornography compared
Europe
to the,
in general.
Our standards. We're pretty much clenched butt cheeks over here.
What does this story say about the trooper that was dressed as the rabbit? Is he working his way up the pay scale? Is he paying his dues, as it were?
Good, Greg. Real good. Real good.
That's class, Ben.
Somebody give that boy a gold star sticker.
That's classy. What about a gold star?
Yes.
To wear on my arm? What?
Or your shirt.
Okay.
You can put it on your mom's fridge when you get home. I don't know.
Anyway, I don't need a gold star armband. Thank you, Zach. Eric, you've got our last story here. What's going on?
Thanks for the enthusiasm, Craig. You're really bringing us all up. It's what you do.
You're supposed to be like Ed McMahon to Johnny Carson going,
"You are correct, sir.
I hold in my hand the last envelope."
So, Eric, you got to pay your dues.
You don't get it, Craig. You don't get it.
No, I don't. And do you have to ask? Honestly. If it's something on television, a movie, a radio, or even a book, chances are I haven't seen it.
He just described it for you. You don't know who Ed McMahon is? I know you've seen the commercials.
He's
where
dead to me.
He's dead.
He's dead to you.
Wow. All I know is he wants to buy my gold.
Oh, before we get sidetracked.
I sent him my gold watch, found out he died 4 years ago.
Oh, Eric, what about cocaine and the desert and hookers and blow? What's going on? Kilos.
So the Dakar Rally, which is no longer in Dakar, it's actually in Africa. The Dakar
Rally. No, South America.
Yep. It goes through Argentina and Chile.
Sorry.
Michelle was a geography whiz in elementary school. What's the capital of Belarus, Michelle?
Shut up.
I don't know, but I know they made some pretty sweet tractors.
Carry on, Eric.
So, if you've never seen the Dakar Rally, they have these really cool support trucks that go chasing after the racers to obviously bring them parts and supplies and stuff like that if they break during the race. And there's these massive, 20,000-pound trucks that are four-wheel drive and can go 105 miles an hour in the sand. So anyways, as they were shipping all these trucks back to Europe from South America from the Dakar Rally earlier this year, some enterprising drug lord decided to who happened to have one of these types of trucks, decided to pack it with 800 kilos of cocaine, 15,000 pills of ecstasy, 4.5 grams of hash, 2 guns, and about 47,000 euros in cash.
Sounds like a party bus. Come on.
So they put it in one of the shipping containers with all the other Dakar trucks, and you know, sent it by sea back. Well, it landed in Spain, and they were going through and checking some things off. And by the way, they had this thing all done up to look like a real Dakar truck with like Red Bull livery or.
And the best part is they had a crew with matching uniforms.
Uniforms
too.
And everything. I mean, they were going.
They went the whole.
Yeah. And some customs inspector said, open your doors.
Like all you had would have to do, really.
Por favor. Yeah. You know?
Los open, los libres. Whatever it is.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Los open, los libres.
How do you say that, Michelle?
Porto, right?
Porto.
Yeah, look at me. High school.
You go.
So yeah, these they got busted. So you got to give them, you know, props for going full bore and trying to pull off this kind of scam.
They shouldn't have gotten caught. It was just dumb luck that they did. If they went that far.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think. 800 keys of coke. That's, you know.
It's a life sentence, well, isn't it?
What I can't figure out is, okay, take a race that was run in Africa, okay, and which is a bigger continent as far as the land size, and you decide to move it to South America, and you don't think one of those countries was going to get the idea, hey, this is an export. You know, let's pack it up.
Jeez.
It's going back to Europe.
Well, they should have. Their port of call should have been Amsterdam, not Spain somewhere. Probably would have been okay. You know.
Yeah.
So how does that fit the theme, Eric?
They'll be paying their dues. I don't know what the European equivalent is of federal bend you over, pound you in the backside prison.
It's probably community service over there.
Yeah, that's true.
Pick up the cigarette butts in the street.
You got to work with topless girls on the side of the road.
Right. That's what...
Speed limit enforcement.
But if you're 3 grams over in your carbon emissions, death sentence.
They don't do that over there.
Yet.
Dead air.
They did many years ago, but we don't talk about that anymore because it was bad. Anyway, thank you for that update, Eric, on cocaine and stuff.
Now, back to the studio.
All righty. We're going to take a quick break here, and this little ditty goes out to a very special fan in the town of Bad Oldesloe in the German state of Schleswig-Holstein. Spin that vinyl. Ben, this is an oldie but a goodie.
She wore blue.
Oh, sorry. Wrong cut. I meant to play this.
Today's broadcast
roundabout
is brought to you in part by...
Oh, hi. Jimmy Stewart here for Quicksilver Motor Oil. Quicksilver gives your car lively go power. Shucks, I use it every time I go motoring, but you don't have to be in pictures to afford Quicksilver. It's just pennies more than the next lowest cost lubricant. Well, let me tell you, that peace of mind is worth miles and miles on the open road. Quicksilver, you can bet your hard-earned dollar you won't find finer motor oil.
It's a mighty fine motor oil. Dave, have you ever used Quicksilver?
Have I seen what?
Never mind.
Amen.
Are we on to... We're on to Loop Chat now, aren't we?
Just about, Michelle, but...
We should have that on a little soundbite there.
Turn that frown upside down, Mirko. I'm sure that little rash you've got will clear up in no time. Remember, VD is only temporary, but a broken heart lasts forever. Wait, is that right?
I think it might be the other way around, but
you get the
sentiment. You really
I'm
get
sure
the,
it'll
understand.
Be fine, guys. Just keep listening to Roundabout. It's God's medicine. And I'm sure I butchered your hometown. Bad Oldesloe? Oldesloe, I think that's right. But anyway.
I thought you were a member of the German pronunciation elite there over there, Mr. Cole.
No, I'm not. I'm sorry.
Loop Chat with Michelle Joey Naranjo.
So what lubricant do you have for us this week, Michelle?
Crisco? Gosh. Well, see, you know what's funny about Crisco is when we were kids, you and
should
in
we
New
just
Mexico,
stop the story right now before it's a lot worse?
No, this is kind of funny.
The thing about Crisco is when we were kids,
our parents used to put Crisco on us when we go out in the sun.
What?
I'm not kidding you. There was no skin cancer worries. Like it was,
or lung cancer worries.
They, when you used to put suntan oil on, it was oil to help promote tanning, not to prevent tanning. I'm not kidding.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly. And our parents put Crisco on us.
Come here, kids. We got a big old tub of hydrogenated vegetable oil. Lather up.
Sounds like your parents
I'm
were
out
basting
playing
you.
With cousin Jimmy and. All I smell is bacon cooking in the sun.
Yeah, my parents used to get a kiddie pool, fill it with bacon, we'd roll around in that.
Yeah. Jeez.
Anyway, yeah. With that, it's time for our blind spot story of the week. When news topics go unnoticed, are underreported, or otherwise fall off the radar, they land in our blind spot. This week we've got something about Battletron Galactical. Zach, Ben, you guys know more about this than I do. Something about a car with jet thrusters on it. I don't know what the dealio is. Fill us in. What's going on here, and why does this deserve to be in the blind spot?
All right, so someone has taken a standard postal service Jeep, okay, and then in the true spirit of ingenuity has created a Viper starfighter from Battlestar Galactica, which is, you know, I'm just going to warn you now, Ben, it's f***ing awesome.
Mark
it. Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is.
It's so much better than, like, the Del Sol Star Wars car that you saw. It's just miles and miles better than that. So, yeah.
And street legal, no less.
Street legal.
It's a frickin' canoe with wheels. Why? Why?
Why not,
why?
Craig? Why not?
Of all the cars on the road, you're going to ask why about this one?
It's a canoe with wheels.
It was the rejected design of the IR of a new IRL car.
It's like,
but if you look at it from the front view, the mirrors are set up to where they're actually functional. It's probably easier to see out of than, you know, like one of my
New Camaro
71 or 72 Mustangs. You know,
and
had extreme tunnel vision then. You know,
true.
Can't
and
look out
you
the back window, but. Who needs it?
And you can only take up 4 handicap parking spots when you get somewhere.
Yeah. It looks like 3 at the most.
If you're driving this thing down the road, people are watching out for you.
It's got the same rear visibility as a Camaro.
Yeah.
It's got a big crumple zone, too.
Yeah, that's for sure.
It's for madam's pleasure.
30-foot of sheet metal before you get to anything important.
So why is this awesome, Zach? I don't.
Well, I was never really a fan of the first Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, get out!
Oh, that was a good one.
I will get out as soon as you're.
Is junk.
Okay,
we're done here.
We're done.
We're done.
Cut her mic, Ben.
Man, I killed the show. Darn it!
It's the first time for all of us, or most of the time for me.
I vote that this is a keeper. This is a nice car. I really like it.
Gets a lot of looks, I'm sure.
It's got a Chevy small block in there. Oh man, this baby hauls the mail literally.
What doesn't have a Chevy small block in it?
Yeah, that's true.
I love the fact that the tail lights are right where the burners would be.
Yep.
Very good.
So does it have nitrous hooked up to the turbo button on the joystick?
It doesn't show the interior. I bet the interior is
I'm
badass.
Sure it's lavish. It's like the Palace of Versailles in there, but nicer and more Star Wars themed. Sorry, Battlestar. Tron Lactica. I don't know.
Yep.
And with...
What was his name? Dirk Benedict or something like that?
Michelle's the historian. She'll know. Science fiction history was her minor, I think.
It's on Hulu.
Yeah. He was pretty sexy when he was younger. I think he's probably a bit like David Hasselhoff now.
Hmm.
Well, they all get that way.
Hey, guys.
You know, on an unrelated note, the women seem to hold up a little better than us guys. Something about hard living in Hollywood, you know. Not that I would know, but, you know.
Hey, guys. Nothing?
Hi. What, Craig?
Well, I have an idea, and it's a good one. Let's take a peek in the roundabout garage.
Ho ho. Well, hit the button.
Listen to that. What? Dave, what engine was that? Can you tell? Or what family of engine? We'll make it broader.
Ding, play ding, it again, ding, Ben. Ding,
ding. Okay, here we go.
Listen carefully.
Listen carefully, Dave. This is your one and only chance to get it right.
Well, I can't say for sure. It sounds more like a wood chipper than a Is that the motor that the lady used on Fargo?
It's worth noting that the starter is not actually attached to the motor.
That was actually 73 Lincoln.
71. Oh, okay. 460, goddammit.
I tried, Zach. I'm sorry. That was not deliberate. 73. That's on the brain for me.
Craig, I'm going to give you a post-it after the show, and you're going to put it on your computer. It's going to say 73.
And it's going to say Eric Tritko, not Derek Tycho, right?
We should make this Craig's tattoo.
I don't have enough arm meat for a tattoo, Michelle. They'd be etching it on my bones. You know that.
Feels better that way.
Anyway, in the garage, we've got a couple vehicles this week. I had a night in a Subaru WRX. Zach, you're a Subaru owner.
Yes, I am.
By choice, no less.
Yes, I am.
Frankly, I don't understand what people like about those cars, like, at all.
Well, you drive a f***ing Ford Focus, so I don't know what
Market
you want.
Mark it, Ben. Marked. Well, I drove the Subaru WRX. Fun driving car. You got the all-wheel drive. Sticks to the road really well. Manual transmission. Only a 5-speed, but who cares? It's got the turbo boxer 4. I believe 2.5 liters, if I remember correctly.
Sure, that's about right. Yep.
Smooth running engine. Sounds like a tractor. You like it or you don't. It's distinctive. I liked it because of that. Pretty smooth running. Lots of power. Moves out well. But the interior is just hard plastic. Hard, shiny plastic everywhere. It's like a laptop. It's just cheap beyond all belief. And then, adding insult to injury, are the squeaks and rattles. I was driving, it was 45, 50 degrees out. The dashboard is rattling, plastic panels are cracking and creaking in the back, another rattle in the back. It's like, why? And people say these are reliable? I don't understand.
Well, squeaks and groans, you know, do not make an unreliable vehicle, you know?
Yeah.
Look, he drives a Focus. Focus.
Yeah, I
my Focus has 123,000 miles. It doesn't rattle at all.
Because you can't hear it because you've tuned it so high so that all we hear is the engine.
Car alarms go off.
No.
Babies cry and
five. The Zune's playing.
Civics come up and want to race you.
I gotta tell you, as far as reliability, the Subaru boxer engine, you know, basically, you know, the four-cylinder, it's, you got to think of it as one-third of a Ferrari, okay? Mm-hmm. In 1975, in a villa, Indiana, I borrowed one of my girlfriend's dad's cars, and he had a Subaru DX, a little, I believe it was a two-door little-looking. It looked like a hatchback, but it had a trunk instead of a, you know, actual hatchback. And I went out to, you know, visit one of my girlfriends with it. a different girlfriend. Not his daughter. Yeah.
You had a girlfriend. And, you took his her
she
father's
had this muddy driveway. It was like a dirt driveway, a little U-shaped driveway. So I pull into her drive, and of course, her other boyfriend is up from Fort Wayne, Indiana, and he's got his CUDA with a 446 pack sitting in the drive.
Nice.
So I come through her driveway, and I do a burnout, a smoky burnout in this, you know, in the mud. So there was no smoke. It was nothing but throwing dirt and mud all the way down both sides of this little Subaru. And I went all through the driveway, just going through all four gears. Pull out onto the asphalt drive, spun the tires to clean the, you know, all the mud off of it, and I hear all these rocks and everything flying down the side of the car. I missed a shift, and it kind of limped a little bit, and I drove it all the way into Kendallville, Indiana, which was about 6.5 miles, okay? Got to the third stoplight, doing burnouts from stoplight to stoplight, and all of a sudden the engine stopped. Pull over to the side in front of the movie theater, get out, lift the hood. Now, those Subarus, the spare tire was mounted on top of your air cleaner. So you had to take the spare tire out, and you know, I pull it off, and I look in the air cleaner, and it's all full of oil.
Oh, that's a good sign.
Now, this was not, that's what I thought. Yo, this can't be good. So I call Don, his last name was Wilson. Don Wilson, I call him, I say, yeah, your car broke down. I don't know what's wrong with it. Well, the whole sides of this car is just covered with mud. He comes into town. He gets one of the neighbors to drive him in. He sees his car, and he goes, what the hell did you do to my car? I said, I don't know. I was driving, and I got it stuck out on a country road, but, I didn't realize it was this dirty. So at the time, the closest Subaru dealer was Fort Wayne, Indiana. They took the car down there. It was the first time anybody in that area had ever blown a Subaru boxer engine. They didn't have a complete engine to drop into the car. They had to order parts from all over the South and out in California to build an engine to drop into this thing. It cost me $1,800. And this was back in 75. So that was big
money. My God.
But it's like,
you bought a brand new car for that.
Oh yeah. And he was like, I admit it was all totally my fault. But I only had to pay half the cost because his wife threw a fit, Don's wife, because the car had 90,000 miles on it because he worked for Curtis Key Company. He, traveled all the way from Ohio to Wisconsin and Illinois and all over Indiana selling key blanks to all the hardware stores and stuff. So he put a lot of miles on the car. But his wife says, no, you wore out half that car. He shouldn't have to pay for the whole thing. But, it was me. But I couldn't believe that they didn't actually have an engine they could drop into this thing. And they said, no one's ever blown one. But I actually shoved the rods out through the end caps on the little, I don't know if you've ever seen them, what a Subaru engine looks like, but it's similar to the Volkswagens where it's got the little metal caps on the end and they're straight out from the side of the block. Yeah, I actually shoved the rods all the way out through those. But it made it all the way into town with a blown engine.
Wow.
So, reliable they are,
So everybody seems to be... Mud Monster's giving me in the chat room. Am I off base?
Wait, he's giving you what?
He's giving me beep in the chat room. Am I off base?
Here's what we like about our Subaru, okay? It's we of course have the Forester, okay, which is the big boxy version. It's a hatchback. It's a turbo 5-speed. It's got plenty of power. All-wheel drive is great when it snows. We still get 26 miles to the gallon, which is not great, but given how I drive, I'll take it any day of the week. Squeaks and rattles and crap like that, I could care less about, as long as I know with near certainty every time I hit the key it's going to start, and that I'll be able to drive it until it's got 275,000 miles on it without having to bat an eye. So, that's why we went with the Subaru.
And it's going to get you where you're going, because with four-wheel drive, like here in the Midwest where I am, winters suck. I can't tell you how many rear-wheel drive cars or front-wheel drive cars have massive problems in the winter getting around. You know,
I drove a 5-liter Mustang in the in Michigan's Northern Peninsula for a winter. I don't want to hear about you need 4-wheel drive for anything.
So I must be off. Everybody else loves Subarus, but I'm just not sold. Yeah. What's your take, Eric?
My buddy has a Subaru 9.2.
Yeah. Well done.
And it's all right.
Wait, what did you call it?
A Subaru.
It's a Subaru.
The Saab 9.2, which was the Subaru WRX.
Okay, I prefer to call them. Okay, sorry. I missed that for a second.
Subarab.
It's got a little nicer interior in it and stuff, and it's fun to drive. I mean, it drives like a slot car, and he puts the STI intercooler and turbo on it, so it's got a little more in a full exhaust system on it, so it's got a little more kick to it. But it's a fun car.
Distinctive sounding with the box.
Yeah, well, the original exhaust he put on it, I hated because it sounded like a really bad Harley. It was like potato, 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 potato. Whatever he put on after that, it sounds a lot better. So,
yeah. So I don't think I could say potato that many times in a row.
Only Olympics.
Olympic, Olympic, Olympic. So, all right. Zach, you were also in a vehicle this week. Something else I dislike. Why don't you tell us about it?
Wait a minute, Zach. I didn't think you were allowed to have press cars in your new gig.
We're working it out slowly but surely. There are kinks to be ironed, but good at ironing, so that works out. Let's see. I guess this was last week, actually. I had the brand new 2010 Mini Cooper John Cooper Works convertible.
Overpriced. Holy crap.
Yeah. Okay, here's the thing about that car. The John Cooper Works is great because it has the sport suspension, which is fantastic. It's got those massive freaking brakes. It has 208 horsepower, weighs next to nothing, will absolutely fly if you can hold on to the torque steer. But then you look at the MSRP. The one I was...
42?
Close. The one I was in was 38.9.
For a mini, that is absurd.
It is beyond absurd.
That is just...
No. Yeah. Here's the way I look at that. You could buy a year-old Corvette coupe, or you could buy that Mini.
That useless piece of crap with a rag top.
And why would you? You know? I mean, I love the car. It drives great. It's a lot of fun. It's very tossable. It's very predictable. It has very neutral handling. But 38.8 is beyond a crap ton of money. And it's not like... I mean, inside, you wouldn't be hard-pressed to tell that it was anything special. There was no navigation. There was no satellite radio.
That's 5.0 Mustang territory right there. That's a lot. You can get a lot of
car. That's beyond 5.0 Mustang.
That's heavily optioned 5.0 Mustang.
Yeah.
Mini. That's just...
Yeah.
No, but don't you think in general, like, BMW's just kind of lost it? Their overreaching market tend to Mini, like... I don't get it. Like, I think that they're headed very quickly into being the route of Toyota right now and Lexus.
I mean, I just don't get who's buying this car. Is anyone buying this car?
It's so cute.
Adorable. The worst part was it was like that buttercup yellow, you know? And they didn't even put the stripes on it, you know. So it was just
an optional extra, you know.
It was the meanest girly car I've ever driven in my entire life, which was sort of the fun, you know.
They should have just given you a bright yellow Beetle and called it good.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, yeah. the part of the fun was, you know, you're instantly underestimated, right? Because you're in what appears to be my girlfriend's car, not even my wife's car. My wife probably would not drive a butternut
yellow. Teenage daughter's car.
Right. But it's just got phenomenal performance, which is pretty cool. But, you know, on the one hand, I like the idea of what you're paying for is the performance, you know. But on the other hand, and the sound. Oh, God. You talk about a good exhaust sound on that sucker, buddy. They did some good work on that. But just the price is just, I can't get
on
board.
Yeah. Craig said your teenage daughter's car, but, I mean, you're talking about a $38,000 car.
Yeah.
Craig, really, you're going to marry up that much?
Wait, what? Run that by me again?
You're going to marry up to the point that your teenage daughter will be able to afford a $38,000 car? Are you serious?
Why not?
Okay, we have high hopes for you. I mean, it's not a kid's car, right? That's the thing. It's cute. It's something that everybody goes like, oh, it's so cute. I wish I'd had this when I was a teenage girl.
Well, I would.
If I could put in my 2 cents here.
Please.
Okay, being the old dinosaur, okay, the original Cooper, okay, was a quirky little car at best. It handled great, but it had a tiny-ass motor. The only thing it had going for it was its handling. So when they came up with the original John Cooper works version of the original Mini Cooper, what they did is they lightened the crap out of an already real light car, and they made like a little pocket rocket out of it, and it was good for like the little road courses and stuff back in the day and everything like that. Now that BMW's taking it over, it's kind of fallen into the same thing as like the new Beetle. Anybody who ever had one of the original Beetles knows they were crap. They were just total shit. But they ran forever, and that little 40 or 50 or 60 horsepower engine, that little jingle as it accelerated away, getting up to that top speed of 65 mile an hour, you just loved the car because it was just so simple, And the problem you have now is, whether it be the new Beetle or the BMW owned Cooper, as it is now, Mini. They've all lost their way. They're no longer anything even resembling what they used to be. And the only thing that resembles is the basic style of them.
Just the look. That's about it. Yeah, you handle well.
That's all it is.
Certainly not the price.
but that's the same with everything. The new Camaro, they say it's styled after the 69. Personally, the only thing that on the Camaro that looks like a 69 Camaro is a slight resemblance from the front grille look. Nothing down the side, nothing from the tail looks like a 69 Camaro. Nothing. And, they got D-shaped taillights even. They didn't even stick with the rectangular taillights. And, the Mustang as it's assembled now is the closest probably to what it used to be. But even that, at least the taillights kind of resemble what the 69 or 70 Mustangs look like. But, the problem is with new technology and, cars today will run circles around anything built back from my day, anything. Just because the handling and the traction control and, engines and transmissions all shift smoother and, you have more control of the vehicle at all times. The stuff back in my day, that I like so much, they were all designed for straight line acceleration, and that was it. Once you got two blocks down the road, forget it. But that being said, the performance on today's car is so much better than it used to be. But
yep.
As far as ultimate kick in the pants, there's nothing that compares to some of these older cars,
That big and, V8 torque.
Drop-kicking
you.
And what they're doing with today's car, I give them kudos. They're doing a hell of a job. And they're doing it all, for the most part, with 100% small block engines. Back in my day, I was a bracket racer. So if you wanted something to run the quarter mile, you went with either, you had two choices. You either went with a big block so that you didn't have to do as much to it to run the times, or you went with a small block and then you had to build the shit out of it so that you could get the RPMs up.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't rev a big block without it flying apart.
Yeah.
But it's the difference between torque and horsepower,
Yeah,
I don't know if you're aware. Off the line, it's torque.
Yep.
Top end is horsepower. And, the cars today, I'm amazed that they can take, the Mustang standard engine. They got that modular engine. I think it's a 4.6 or a 4.7.
4.6, 5.0 now.
And they're getting 300, 400, and 500 horsepower out of these things. It's like, oh my God, you know. But then again, you look at the torque numbers, and the torque just ain't there.
Or not know? At the low RPMs.
Right. Right. Yeah. And that's where the big blocks had it, you know. And that's what I miss more than anything is that off the line grunt, you know.
Well, those. You know, well, get a diesel. Diesel gives you that. Right, diesel.
Diesel.
You know, the problem is, especially today, is, you know, with your speed limits and everything going around town, you know, you really, it doesn't matter if your car can do 140 on the top end, you can't use it. Jeez. You know, but getting from stoplight to stoplight, racing somebody, that's where you miss the big block.
Mm-hmm. You don't miss it at the gas station, though.
No,
things had
no,
to be
that's
thirsty.
True. That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Most of the bigger V8s, you're lucky if you got 6 to 9 miles to the gallon back in the day.
Jeez. Jeez. Well, I think that'll do it for In the Garage, guys. Not a whole lot going on for us this week, but we'll see about next week. Anyway, it's time for another riveting and informative edition of Auto Gadget. And now we're storming the beach with the two-pronged assault. First up,
Wait, Craig.
Hmm?
I have breaking news via text.
From?
Jeffrey Ross.
Oh?
Dinner is over.
Bum, bum,
toasts
bum.
Are on now. Go us.
What? That's rather cryptic. Does that mean he scored?
That's for honeymoon is over already.
No, it means everyone is standing up and talking about how wonderful it is that Jeff and Amanda are joining together tomorrow.
Joining forces.
Yes. I just thought I had to do the breaking news. So go ahead with your rest of your show.
It's our show, Michelle. Don't be sloughing responsibility off. Come on now. This is a team effort. All of us are involved. Even Ben. He does some amount of work for this.
What?
I'm fine. So anyway, our first auto gadget. Eric, I'm going to rely on you for this one a little bit because you are an Apple person.
Into the mic. Into the mic.
Sorry, Ben. Eric, I'm going to rely on you a little bit for this one because it involves Apple, one of your favorite companies. Now, the other day they released the news about the iPhone OS 4, which is their latest update for their ever-popular smartphone, the iPhone. The latest operating system bringing a bunch of new features, multitasking, new advertising, yada yada, a bunch of other crap. Good stuff. It's also rumored, I guess, that they might be doing some auto type stuff. Do you think that's in the realm of possibility for Apple, or is this just an ugly, vicious rumor?
I had the idea that Apple should have done automotive stuff well before Microsoft came out with Sync, with how poorly auto navigation used to be. And the original iPod and how the navigation was laid out made sense. So I don't see why not. And if they were smart and seeing how many Sync systems are being sold, you'd think they might want to dip their beak a little bit into that pool of money.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with the diehard following they've got. You know, I'm sure there are people out there who would buy a car partially just because the Apple logo is on
and
it.
And you have to put it in a properly, you know, arrogant kind of car. So, you know, like an Audi would be perfect for it.
Yeah.
Oh.
The design would match, too. Very understated, you know. Clean.
But only with the V8. Put the V10 in there. It's just too much. Just, yes. Why do you need it, really?
Jesus, why?
Why do you need the V10? The V8's perfect. It's a perfect.
It's perfectly balanced. You don't need anything more.
Perfectly balanced.
Is that what it feels like to put up with me?
Yes.
No. No. You're getting off light. You're getting off easy.
Getting off easy. All right. Well, there you go. This story, Apple stuff from Engadget. No surprise there. Ben, what's your stance on this?
I want it. And, you know, it's...
You're the Apple fanatic, so I got to ask you.
I think it'd be great. I mean, there are so many of these interfaces in the cars that are just like... They're not even as good as Windows or Zune.
Oh.
Sorry, I threw up a little.
But
they make Hyundai's navigation look good.
Weren't we on... Skype video this morning, and I overheard Craig. He's looking at buying an Apple computer.
He is.
No,
he
I
is.
Was not. Yeah.
You went shopping for an what? iPad after the
I
show wanted, last week.
I was curious what the prices were for their new laptops with the Core i7 for the Mac Pro
Ben,
15.
Should I get a glossy or a matte screen?
Kill it with fire. Kill it with fire. Well, when the Zune-branded laptops come out, you can mark my word. Be buying one of those. No.
I had to cover the ears of my little gateway so it didn't hear that. I didn't want it to know.
Milk was a bad choice.
And my HP laptop, all I can say is thank God that's disassembled and out of commission right now because it would turn on its own.
Wait, does Gateway still ships computers?
Yep.
Really? Yep, I got one for Christmas.
I think Acer bought. I think Acer bought them or something, and they sell.
Do
them.
They still come in the CalPrint boxes?
Moo.
I don't think so.
Let me see. I got my box. Yeah, it does.
Oh.
Yep. Hmm. Still got the CalPrint box.
Just like Craig's seats.
I got a Gateway with
Zebra Ben.
I always thought it was bigger than that, but it's only a 23-inch widescreen for my monitor. But yep, it's a CalPrint box. Wow. Not as many cow patches on it as there used to be. It's only a couple little patches now.
Well, they got to cut back. The economy's bad.
Yeah, black ink
less,
costs money.
Less cow, more
less
bell.
Less ink, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we've got a double header auto gadget for you today. The first, obviously, the iPhone 4.0 car kit. Who knows if Apple will do that? We'll have to wait and see. But our second one, story comes courtesy of the Detroit News, and I thought this was pretty clever to do. I guess a company is selling these little lock assemblies, and what they're doing is you can match them to your car keys. So if you have a gate or something you're chaining or a shed you're locking, you can actually have that lock match up with your car keys, so you don't have to carry another key around. You've typically always got your car keys with you. Got the key to the lock there. Boom. Done deal. That's pretty clever. Or not.
Crickets? Crickets?
Zach, what's your stance on abortion, on these locks Craig. Here?
Pro-abortion against the locks. How about that?
Okay. And Michelle?
Ow. What?
Are we doing a show?
Michelle, are you high?
Hey, who is that?
Jimmy Stewart here. Talking about partial birth abortion. Well, I knew we shouldn't have done a doubleheader. Anyway.
Just cut this in post, right?
Yes, just cut it to ribbons, Ben. You're going to have to. So you can get a key that, like, locks with your car keys. It's a lock something. You can put your tool
see,
shed
now,
there. Yeah.
If you look at the picture of the locks, you know, they got the trailer hitch lock. That would be clever, you know, because it matches your ignition key, so you don't have to carry extra keys. The bicycle cable, I don't know what you'd use that for unless you're trying to keep the jet ski from getting stolen off the trailer or something. And same with the padlocks. It's like I don't want to carry my car key in order to go open the shed in the backyard. But
yeah.
But the trailer hitch one, you know, they'll probably sell a million of those.
It's a good idea. It really is. It's a great idea.
It is.
Right. No, I mean you have to remember I have a Touch because I inherited my daughter's old Touch when my mom upgraded her, and I only use it to listen to the show. Like I'm not kidding. Like,
Michelle, there are 185,000 apps you can download.
I know,
you're not
I don't
using
use
them?
It. Like,
shame on you.
But I'm a Mac user on my computer. I'm a BlackBerry person. Like I don't even care about this stuff. I seriously don't. Like
Michelle, we're on a different story.
By the way. Wow, Ben, you are a dick.
I'm just saying.
I'm sorry. I was like, I told somebody.
I think she.
And they say I'm stuck in the past.
No, Michelle somebody had IM'd me, and I actually got like kind of interested for a second, and I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry.
And you know what? The coily cable thing that I was saying was a bicycle lock. You know what that would be handy for? I actually owned, believe it or not, at one time I had a 2001 Dodge Ram quad cab. And literally, I did a remodel job for a bar down in Chicago. And I used to park on the sidewalk. And everyone was giving me crap. You know, oh, you can't park there. There's no parking on... I'm not parked on the street. I'm parked on the goddamn sidewalk. You got a problem? Tow it. Anyway, while I was parked there for the grand opening of the bar, nightclub one night, someone actually lowered my back spare tire and stole the f***er. I drove home and I'm hearing this jingling out the back of my truck, wondering what the hell that noise is. I get home, I realize my cable, you know, they wound down the spare tire and stole it. That lock would have saved me from them taking my tire.
Wow.
So there is a use for that lock, too.
Well, real good, guys.
Thanks, Ben. Thanks, Craig.
You're welcome, Michelle. You are just a real treat, you know?
You're real kickshaw.
You know, I was trying not to use that.
I know.
Antiquated.
I thought I'd... I knew you wanted to.
As opposed to his rickshaw?
Ooh, rickshaws. So I think we can just about, wrap things up here. What do you say, Ben?
I think we probably could. Yeah. Yeah, it's been a good show. I just said...
Hold on. So somebody's calling into the Roundabout Hotline again. That's 559-ROAB-411. Quick, Ben, you better answer it. We don't want them to miss the call.
What number is that they have to call into?
Well, you should know it already. It's 559-ROAB-411. Again, that's 559-ROAB-411.
Is that 559-762-2411?
I think so.
Okay. Just checking.
Well, answer before they hang up.
It's not even ringing anymore. I think they might have hung up. I don't know.
Well, it's Jimmy Stewart here. And,
hello.
You know, hello.
Marla said she passed me through, and she's going to give me a hold of that guy on Three's Company. What's his name? Don Rickles, I think it is.
No, I don't think that's right.
He's still alive. I don't know how he pulled that off. But anyway... what were you saying? No, I must have the wrong number.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. Well, that's our call of the week, folks.
Thank you, Jimmy Stewart. He's getting a little funny in his old age, you know. He was complaining to me the other day, these people keep leaving crap on his porch. I told him it was Meals on Wheels, but he didn't understand. But thank you, Jimmy. You're always a pleasure to have on the show. And with that, guys, before we drag this out any longer, I think we should kill the bitch. Michelle Naranjo, MissMotormouth.com.
See.
MingleMedia.com.
No, just MissMotormouth.com or Twitter.com/MissMotormouth. And I have like 3 shows now, so I don't even know where I am.
Myself. I really couldn't have.
He really is incapable of saying it better.
Literally.
I know.
If we're looking for a definition of literally,
that's it.
Here we go.
Yeah, that's good. So Michelle Naranjo, N-A-R-A-N-J-O, Naranjo was her name-o. Thank you for joining us yet again.
Yes, it's not Michelle Noriega. Thank you, David Welch.
Always a pleasure, Michelle. Thanks again. Eric Tritko. From Dearborn, Michigan, rumblestrip.net.
Blog.webrightstv.com and
blogs.
Blogs Twitter.com.
Blogs plural.
No, more it's than blog. It's blog,
blog singular.
Singular.
Oh, now I'm screwed up.
Way to pull a Craig.
Well, earlier you said blogs, so I thought that was the right one.
No, blog.
Well, you took it from me, so chances are it's wrong, Ben.
Oh.
Blog.webrightstv.com, twitter.com/rumblestrip. And,
what are you working on right now? Anything good?
I've got two reviews on Hyundais to write.
Hyundai like Sunday. Jeff Hyundai. Is not here, so Zach Bowman.
Happy marriage, Zach.
Yes, yes,
Jeff.
Yes, and may you...
Sorry, I really didn't mean to pull a Craig. I'm really... Sorry, go.
Zach Bowman.
Yes, sir.
Auto blog, automotive blog.
Autoblog.com. That's right.
What you got in the oven? Any buns in the oven?
Nothing too exciting. You can also find me over at Twitter at Z_Bowman.
Real good. Check it out. You're doing the Twitter thing.
Yeah. Not as much as I used to, but... Yeah.
Work gets in the way. I know what it's like. I'm not quite as active on Twitter as I'd like to be. I know my Legion would love to hear more updates from me, but...
Especially your super fan, Joel Fetter.
Yeah. He gave me what the Twitter equivalent of a... on the tweet there. So. Very nice service to perform.
Wait, have you let him add you on IM yet?
I don't even use that.
Yeah,
technology.
Don't do it.
Okay.
No offense, Joel.
And last but not least, we have Dave Braddock. Thank you for joining us. You've survived your first episode of Roundabout.
Woo! Okay.
Yeah. Woo-hoo. We didn't need
I'll never be invited back to this or any other show.
He's tainted, folks.
Yeah.
So what, you have your own blog? It's what, americanmusclecar.wordpress.com? Tell us about it. What do you do there?
Well, I just kind of deal with, different topics that come up in my head as far as I used to, basically tell people to invest in muscle cars. It's what I originally started with. As far as a goal, and if they had extra money, send it my way, which that hasn't worked out too well. But
it's funny, we keep asking that too, and not coming up.
Yeah, then I kind of got into. I told a couple stories about cars, from when I was growing up and stuff, and the last two, I've dealt with the Meekum auction they just had down in Kansas City this past weekend. And the cars that went through that were bargains, and what kind of price they should have went for, and what they did go for, and the auctions are right now. They're a great way to, if you're the end buyer or if you're looking to sell some cars, the auctions, you can find them real cheap and in great condition. The problem with the auctions is. Everyone says, well, when you bid on an auction car, you can't really inspect it or check the numbers. Well, the problem is that if an auction house, especially one like Meekum, presents a car as being, like an SS396, let's say, Chevelle, it's got to actually be a numbers-matching car or they can get in legal trouble for selling it as such. They have to tell you if it's a clone. They have to tell you if it's not an original engine. Mm-hmm. They have to tell you all this stuff up front.
Yep,
so it's actually a great place to buy a car and get them at a decent price. I've got a, in the Chicago area, north of Chicago here, there are, there's the Volo Auto Museum. There's classicmusclecars.com down in Wakanda. There's another one in Midwest Muscle Cars down in Lake Zurich. I talked to all these guys. And then there's also Auto Gallery Museum up in Spring Grove, Illinois. These are all within probably 15 minutes of me. And I check in with these guys every once in a while and, shoot the so to speak. Excuse the French. But talk to the guys about what's going on with the market and everything else. And by and large, a lot of them are not buying auction cars, and there's two reasons for that. Everyone says, well, if no dealers are buying these cars for the $25,000, then, how can they be worth any money? The problem is, and this goes back to, me talking with the guys down at Midwest Muscle Cars and Volo is kind of unique in the aspect that they have a museum. They charge admission to come in and see the cars and look at them and walk through. They have a lot of stuff for sale, Hollywood cars and muscle cars.
Well, Dave Braddock, thanks so much for taking the time to join us this evening.
Okay.
Glad you could make
Alrighty.
It. Your site's americanmusclecar.wordpress.com. Is that the main one you're at? You post stuff to?
Yeah, that and Twitter.
Cool. What's your Twitter handle, just so everybody knows?
Dwayne1957.
Real good. So follow Dave Braddock on Twitter. All right, guys, we'll wrap things up here tonight. Couple things. Visit our website, roundaboutshow.com. You can find more great stuff, links, show notes. You can subscribe to the podcast there, too, via either iTunes or, well, probably not Zune, but it's an option. It's an option. Also, while you're on the site, swing by and check out my I've started a new thing called the Bottom 10 List. My first one is up. It's Automotive Journalism Cliches. Check it out if you like reading long and boring articles. Plenty of long and boring there. So find out. Zach, are you guilty of any of these automotive faux pas?
Yes. I'll just say that. I haven't read it. I'm sorry.
I'm not surprised. And I'm sure you are. So check it out. Lots of great stuff.
Things find like out. Calling the Nissan GTR Godzilla.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Craig hates the word aforementioned.
I've never used the word
aplomb.
I think I've used that.
I'll just cut to the chase. The number 10, it's a count up list because it's backwards, but my least favorite automotive journalism cliche, calling an engine a mill.
Really?
I'm sorry. That makes my skin crawl.
You can only say engine so many times in a paragraph. Mark, I did that Ben. Just for you, Ben. Just for you.
Well, you could say power plant. Is it mill? Mills make steel, grind wheat into flour, and remind us of Holland. They do not power motor vehicles.
Do you call an engine a motor?
No, I do not.
All right, just checking.
Motors are electric.
That's right.
So Ford Motor Company, Toyota Motor, General Motors. It's wrong.
Web of lies.
Electric.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's the website.
That's Tokyo out. By Night? Who the hell says Tokyo by Night?
I've read that so many times. I've heard it so many times.
Is this 1947? Is that what it is?
Zach, it was very much in the 80s and 90s with the original digital dashes.
I see.
Yep. And firebombing or something.
He's like, I was just getting bored. Born then.
No one says half of these things.
Craig is a whiny bitch. I'm quoting Mud Monster. Well, thank you, Mud Monster. That's a real confidence boost there. Anyway. Thanks to all of you out there listening. Join us again next week as we circle the roundabout. We're killing this bitch. We'll talk to you later.
There's a term in podcasting. I think it's knifing the bitch.
She had it coming. You sound disgusted.
I'm not disgusted. I'm just tired. Again, always with the tired.
Always with the tired you are.
I think he had ice
going
water.
Going to give
at
yourself an early
Ben.
Grave.
Thank you, Yoda. The Yiddish. Ben the Yiddish Yoda. Thank you very much.
Ben, I think he had some ice water at lunchtime. Bad things happened, you know.
Binds me up.
I can't have ice chips. They cut the lining of my stomach.
Can I point out one common fallacy? You know, they always say, you know, the older the wine, the sweeter it is. You know, an aged wine is like a fine woman. Let me point out that when wine gets too old, it turns to vinegar. Same can be said with
wait,
women.
Wait, what the hell are you saying, Dick? I am going to take exception to this.
I didn't say you're a vinegar yet. I just said you will be.
But at 42,
day.
You're knocking on vinegar's door.
Well, she's full of piss and vinegar, but, you know.
We need a roundabout shirt that says
knocking on vinegar's door. Isn't his cell phone...
The eBay link's for you there, Zachary.
I think I'm calling the cell phone.
Oh, cool.
I hope.
Hello, this is Jeff.
The A50?
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Okay. Jeff!
Hi!
Jeff
Ross.
Are you divorced yet?
Way to kill the conversation, Eric.
I was just doing my best Craig Cole.
I know. I taught you well.
All right, guys.
You about ready to start the show?
Let's do it.
Okay, here we go. Welcome to Roundabout.
Oh, are it's you the saddest start I've ever heard in my life. Jeff and I thought we were in the midst of a caper earlier this week. It was pretty awesome.
A caper?
We did.
Go on.
Yeah. Yeah, we thought we had rescued a 2002 TI, or TII, BMW. Sadly.
California.
Yeah, sadly we did not. But it was fun to be the Harvey Boys for a little while. I'll tell you that much.
So, Jeff, how was rehearsal?
It was good. Now we're heading to the rehearsal dinner.
Did you feel like having diarrhea when you were like doing the rehearsal?
No.
He actually had diarrhea, Michelle.
Especially since I know this phone call is being recorded.
Did you feel it running down your leg, Jeff?
No.
I was
happy about everything.
Don't lie, Jeff. We're your friends.
Don't make any inferences.
He's on speakerphone and she's right there, so he has to watch what he says.
We're excited for you. I am.
That's good stuff, man.
We all are, of course. So say we all.
Is this like the middle of the show?
No, we haven't even started yet, Jeff.
No.
Oh, nice.
Phone buzzing?
We're getting there.
It's like the good old days.
That's right. 6:30. We've just been hanging out on Skype for 30 minutes.
We're efficient on time, guys.
That's the way we roll.
We try to keep things tight. You know?
Wouldn't have it any other way. But so, I can't stay on the phone long.
Jeff, come on. You got an hour to spare. It's just 60 minutes. It's nothing.
It's the least you can do for us since we didn't get invited to the wedding.
And I'm sure you must be overcome with guilt for not inviting us.
Not fair.
You're welcome.
Well, Jeff, enjoy your wedding then. We won't keep you any longer. We can take a hint. Good luck tomorrow.
All right, thank you guys.
Good luck tomorrow.
Thank you.
We'll have you back on A Married Man.
I will text Michelle so there's an official tweet somewhere out there.
Okay.
Don't forget to check in at Foursquare at the church.
I'm the mayor of marriage.
All right, guys, Jeff. I'll talk to you soon.
See ya.
Bye. Thank you.
When they were dating, she worked out at the health club with a 5-pound dumbbell in each hand. Now that they're married, she works out with an iron skillet in each hand.
I can see why you were married twice, Dave.